We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in, everybody, to the CFB Nation All-America Podcast. I'm Bill Troche, Senior Editor at SportingNews.com, alongside Bill Bender, our National College Football Writer at SportingNews.com. You can follow Bill on Twitter at BillBender92, and you can follow me at Bill Troche. Keep an eye on the main Sporting News account at Sporting News. We are recording this Thursday morning. I'm not sure when it will go live, but the NFL Draft is ahead of us. This may not be published until Friday or something when the first round is over, but happy draft day, Bill. Anyway.
Oh, this is one of my favorite days of the year. And it always has been. I mean, as a fan, and as you know, the listeners know, I'm a huge Green Bay fan. You get new players. As a sports writer, you know, you get to have the privilege to write draft content and watch, and it's, and as a live TV event, I've always thought this was the best of the drafts, but it always had. Now that it's become, it wasn't like that when I was a kid, but now it's an event. And I know the NBA draft is, and they're trying to make the MLB and hockey drafts like that. But I mean, nothing tops this one because of the connection you have of watching these guys in the college game. I was asked that yesterday. I said, my favorite part is seeing a guy that maybe you've talked to over the years, like a Blake Corum, or, you know, somebody like a Roma Dunze, and
Drake May you had on the phone.
Drake May, yeah. Like, and now Drake May is going to be the number three pick. And it's not selfishly, hey, we were right about that guy, but you kind of like love to see guys that you enjoyed talking to take it to the next level. There's no question about that.
No question. Yeah. So speaking of Caleb Williams, of course, expected to go number one. I would be shocked if we have to make an edit to this pod and change that. So you did a great story about 6 months ago on Caleb and when the legend was born in high school. He was a sophomore, and it was a championship game. And just what do you remember doing about that story? And then, it's kind of amazing that that he showed so much potential as a sophomore in high school, and now – through 3 years of college, he's going to be the number one pick in the draft.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You know, you and our editor Elliot kind of pitched that to me, and I'd remembered vaguely the game part. Like, you remember, oh yeah, I remember that on a Saturday morning that highlight was, or a Sunday morning that highlight was out there. And just digging into the story and the ability, and you know, as somebody that covered high school football out of college and still follows it to a certain extent, to see that ability at that level. And very, you know this, Bill. You were the one that said it, I think, that you were like, he moved like Caleb Williams in that game on the Hail Mary that won this incredible game where, you know, he's not the only one that's going to get drafted tonight from that game. Olu Fashanu and Marshawn Lloyd and several others are going to play in the NFL that were on this field. And he stood out. And he really did that at USC. I think last year probably raises some questions but I think it's not all on him. I looked yesterday, they still averaged 40 points a game. They still, you know, he still was phenomenal most of the year. But yeah, I think that story was one of the more fun ones I put together in the last couple of years because of all the people that you would hear talk about how in awe they were of him and the perfect end to a perfect game. That's really where his legend took off. And I said this yesterday, and I hate it because it's the Bears. They've had 30 plus starting quarterbacks since 2000. If he emerges as that guy, takes them to the playoffs, they go 10-6 in the next 2 years. He'll be the biggest celebrity other than maybe Patrick Mahomes in the NFL.
Yep. Yep. You did a great job on that story. Gonzaga DeMatha, SportingNews.com, give it a search on Google, and you will learn a lot about the number one pick in the NFL draft, who presumably is going to the Chicago Bears tonight. So that'll be good. So, all right, before we kick it off, a little Troche trivia. I got a question touching on another quarterback that is going to be drafted tonight, and we'll see how you do. I think you'll have fun with this one. In the Super Bowl era, six LSU quarterbacks have been drafted within the first five rounds. Jaden Daniels, of course, will make it seven tonight. He's going top five. Everybody knows that. How many of the six LSU quarterbacks drafted in the first five rounds can you name? I think you'll do okay on that. We will revisit that at the end of the show. Start thinking back to your LSU quarterbacks. Some very, very, very high. I think you'll get close.
I'll give four, I think. I'm starting to like turn the wheels on the last two, but we'll see.
All right. So you did some work this week, speaking of the draft and quarterbacks, for the 2025 NFL draft. You ranked the quarterbacks that are going to be the top 10 quarterbacks for the class of 2025 for the NFL draft. And you kicked it off with a kid from Colorado who has a fairly famous father.
Yeah. That's what we all do. We're already looking at what's next. We haven't even gotten through the draft. But we got to look at what's next.
Keep going. You also did a 2025 big board, which we'll get to in a minute. Well, holy mackerel, Bill. I went back to last year's big board, and boy, you did a great job on that. So people need to listen to the man when he puts out the big board early.
You know, I missed last year on that big board, and I was talking with our NFL guy, Vinny Iyer. I missed Rome, but I remember having that like internal debate because he was on my radar. I was like, should I put this dude on here, top 50? And I was running out of spots, and I'm like, I'm glad he proved me wrong. He was phenomenal a second. And in my head, I was like, well, I need to see him do it again. And boy, did he ever. So great, great there. Now, 2025.
Right, let's start with your QB list.
Yeah, let's go with QBs. I mean, Shador, we're going to talk about him for the next 365 days. And I'll put it to you this way. And as you know, I'm always on these youth sports fields at night and running around talking to dads about our content. I'm trying to sell Sporting News content to them. And, you know, one of our studs on the eighth grade team, this kid, Liam Deal, his dad and I were talking, and I said, you know, what do you think of Shador? And immediately, I like him. And then you might ask another dad, he said, what? Why is he number one? And, but when I was talking to Liam's dad, it was, he, you know, it's the same thing I see. 27 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. And he did, the hard part of the evaluation is he took so many sacks, didn't have a running game. Dylan Edwards is transferring. The circus around the Colorado team. I just go back to that TCU game and the early start in the season. I'm like, he was in the Heisman conversation. We were actively saying he was the best player in the country for a month. And I think he'll do well in the NFL. I like a lot of parts of his game. Now, the Deion circus attached to it, yeah, that's going to happen too. So we'll see how it goes. There's going to be a lot of fanfare around him next year.
Yeah, I remember Peter King, you know, longtime legendary NFL writer for Sports Illustrated and NBC, and he just retired or whatever. He made a point to go see Shador in late September, early October last year. It was like the first college game he'd kind of gone to in a very, very long time, just to see Shador, and came away very, very impressed in person. And this is a guy that had seen quarterbacks for 40 years that have gone on for NFL success. So that made an impression on me. I trust Peter King. And you think it's a lot of flash, a lot of sizzle, and it is, but there's some substance to Shador. Right. There's no question about it. And you're right. He did not have all the weapons around him that some of the Ohio State quarterbacks have, that the Alabama quarterbacks have, that the LSU quarterbacks have. And he still succeeded. Now, they did go 4-8. We'll see. You mentioned Dylan Edwards, his top running back, transferring, but they did get Dallin Hayden from Ohio State. So I think that was a situation where I didn't worry necessarily about Edwards leaving, because he looks at Hayden as a guy who might take the majority of the carries, and Shador is going to throw it 40 times a game anyway. So he needs to find somewhere where he can carry the ball and get a majority of the snaps. But go ahead.
No, I was just saying, well, you're right to trust Peter. Oh, no, you guy like Peter King. We do all right. But he's a little bit older than me and was in there in the 70s. But here's the thing. And as we move down that list, I think Quinn Ewers and Carson Beck are NFL quarterbacks too. First rounders probably. And we can get into that, I mean, with Ewers and Beck. But I think they're the standard first round pick if they don't mess it up this year. Then it gets weird. That's the way I would put it, because everybody 4 through, I would go all the way down to 6 guys I didn't even put on the list, are hard to break down and hard to see. And, you know, I was going to ask you, honestly, I mean, I think you watched him more than I did last year. What do you think about Riley Leonard? We put him high. He's coming off an injury. He goes to Notre Dame. Lot to like about him, but then kind of like, well, I always look, you know what I look at, Bill? They're big games, like big, quote-unquote big games. What was their – how'd they play? And his is not – his completion percentage against, you know, Notre Dame, Florida State, Clemson is not great.
No, you're right. And you know, you look at Sam Hartman, and he didn't really improve his draft stock at Notre Dame. So that's a strike against Notre Dame. New offensive coordinator, but – you know, Riley Leonard wants to improve his draft stock, and so he's going to Notre Dame. He looked great against Clemson. He didn't put up big numbers, but he was just impressive. He met the moment. That was a huge win for Duke. He made some big plays with his legs, and you could see that this team was, you know, he carried that team forward, right?
Right.
And then, but, you know, he got hurt, and then he was struggling the rest of the season with the ankle and all that. I mean, I think he only threw 3 touchdown passes the whole year, which is very weird for someone that we're talking about, you know, an NFL draft pick, first round guy. So he's got a lot of improving to do. Maybe he can do it with the new offensive coordinator, but, like, you know, I didn't love how Sam Hartman, he did put up big numbers and everything, but he did not improve his draft stock at all. He might go undrafted. I don't even know. What do you think?
I think he'll be either day 2 or day 3 pick that will probably be a backup at the next level. And we had thought and if you go back, not just the big board, I do this top 10 list every year. And some years, like this year in particular, I'm trying not to, but It's pretty on target. But to be fair, like you weren't going to mess up Caleb and Drake off the start. And they're like, oh yeah, those two. And then we had Jaden, and we had I even had Shador and Quinn on this list for this year. So I don't know that Sam Hartman. We thought he maybe could be a second, third round pick, and I don't think he'll be that.
Right. And like even Jack Cohn before that, right?
Right.
They've had these guys and that have come in with a ton of experience and they haven't jumped to the next level. So we'll see if Riley Leonard can do that.
Yeah. And then you get into the back half and it's everybody has a question mark. Jalen Daniels, love his talent. Got to stay healthy. Jalen Milroe, new coach. What do we do with him? He was tremendous. He has the highest returning passer efficiency rating among any Power 5 quarterback. I wouldn't have guessed that in a million years until I was doing the stats on him. And, you know, how does he look with Kalen DeBoer and Nick Sheridan? That's a big X factor. I mean, he could jump up the board. The guy I like unconditionally, and he hasn't played a lot of football, is Connor Wiegman. Because this is something I'm going to let you shine on this stat, but I love five-star quarterbacks' pedigree. Because they already have the pedigree. Can they put it together? And in his limited sample on the field, he's been pretty good. He's been hurt. He's on his third offensive coordinator in 3 years. But you may have to do that in the NFL. I mean, look at Baker Mayfield. I think Baker Mayfield has more coordinators than my kids leave lights on in our house every day. So it's been that's a lot, by the way.
It's back to Jalen Milroe, though. Like, there's word out of Tuscaloosa, Ty Simpson was pushing him in the spring practice. So
right. He
could go one of two ways. You just don't know what's going to happen with him. Washington, Kalen DeBoer is a new offensive coordinator this year. I mean, we'll see how much DeBoer's influence, they were tremendously successful at Washington, obviously with Michael Penix. And we'll see how much of a difference it's going to make now that he is separated from his offensive coordinator. You know, he's got Milroe on paper. It's like, whoa, look what he did with Michael Penix. He's going to do even more with Jalen Milroe and all the Alabama talent, but we'll see.
And then DJ Uiagalelei, third school, five-star talent, not horrible numbers, NFL size, all of those. He's got all the stuff. You know, like you're not going to say, well, he's too small for the NFL. No, he's 6'5", 240.
Right. He's got total durability, huge arm.
You got to put it together on the field a little bit. And if he does that at Florida State, he could shoot up. So, and even the guys we left off, there was a couple I wanted to mention. Will Howard at Ohio State. You've got all the stuff you need. No excuses not to perform with what you got around you at Ohio State. Drew Aller, didn't have him on the list. Some people do. I looked around some other mocks and rankings, as you do, and man, he's 4 or 5. He's another guy got to prove it on the field. He's got all the stuff. He's huge, you know, good kid, good makeup, but has to play well in big games. And that's something for me. I need you to play well in big games. I can't have you going out against Ohio State, Michigan, Ole Miss, 40% completion percentage, people wanting you to be benched for Bo Prabula. I need him to go out and perform, and he might, and I hope he does. That'd be great. And then Curtis Rourke, second Ohio University mention on here. Big kid, played a lot of football, going to Indiana, opportunity for him to shine. So those are a couple off the radar to watch for.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
We'll go into your big board now. So I looked at it. I hope I still have it up here. Last year's big board. Okay. Your top eight guys, Marvin Harrison, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Brock Bowers, Joe Alt. These are all first round. Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, and Fashunu.
That sounds like the first half hour of the draft, or should be.
That's good, Bill.
Not bad. Well, not hard, though. Like last year, it wasn't hard because Joe Alt was the best tackle. You know, Caleb and Drake were the best player. Marvin Harrison. I mean, like, here's my thing. And of those guys you just mentioned tonight or in this first round, I'm most interested to see who has the courage to draft Brock Bowers early, because you can't tell me he wasn't. I sometimes when you do that big board, and I know it conflicts with the guys that break down the NFL, but these were the best guys in college football. Jared Verse was best defensive lineman in a lot of ways. Brock Bowers, remember our All-American discussion with him this year? It was, yeah, Brock Bowers, the first team. Do we need to even have a discussion? And no. So I want to see who takes him and what he does at the next level. I know it's risky to take tight ends in the top five, but Kyle Pitts worked out, and there's no reason why Brock Bowers won't work out.
All right, let's look at your 2025 big board. Pressure's on. These top eight guys, I want them all in the first round next year too. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Shador, number two, Kelvin Banks, tackle from Texas. Number three, James Pierce Jr., defensive end from Tennessee, who's putting up big numbers. Travis Hunter, everybody knows his two-way star, Colorado, DB and wide receiver. Quinn Ewers, quarterback at Texas. We didn't talk about him much in the QB rankings. Carson Beck right behind him, of course. They project to be first rounders. Luther Burden III, wide receiver at Missouri. He's had two amazing years at Missouri so far. He's back for his third and presumably final year with the Tigers. And then number eight, a tackle from LSU named Will Campbell. So are all those eight going to be first rounders next year?
Well, the tackles are the ones to watch, because there's a lot of good tackles. Will Campbell's not even the only good tackle on his team. They've got two. So that could go in the first round when you look at Emory Jones. So, and then, you know, Kelvin Banks is huge. So they're the ones, like, I when I break these guys down, I always have to ask for help on offensive linemen, because there's just things I don't know. Like, that, you know, generally I go to Cool Kubelik or somebody else that's like, what do you think of this guy? Mm-hmm. And they help out. Receivers, I'm comfortable. I like Luther Burden a lot. Mm-hmm. I think he would have been a first round top 15 pick this year,
mm-hmm.
but he's a sophomore. So, and I don't know, you tell me, Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers, there's some reservations there, because like, I just, this quarterback class compared to this year, the 24 to the 25, 25 is a lot more unstable. All of those guys could go up or down a lot.
Yeah, and I think that's the reason Shador came back, is this quarterback class is loaded, and next year's is not. And so, yeah, I mean, you've got Shador overall number one. We'll see if he can stay. Cam Ward is the only other quarterback you have in your big board top 50 right now of Miami. And there's questions about him too. So, like, yeah, I think the quarterbacks are very, very volatile. Looking at your wide receivers, so after Luther Burden, who you have as a top wide receiver, you got Tatoria McMillan from Arizona, Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State, Evan Stewart, the Texas A&M transfer, is now at Oregon with Dan Lanning. We'll see how that goes. He's got a great quarterback with him and Dylan Gabriel. No, fifth wide receiver, Isaiah Bond. We saw him hook up with Arch Manning at the spring game in Texas for a 75-yard touchdown. And then Torrey Horton from Colorado State. Those are your six wide receivers.
Yeah, pretty good. Not as good as this year, though.
No.
I mean, again, that's another class that you're like, yeah, they're good, but not like this year where it's deep. And you're going to have three top 10 picks. And, you know, Torrey Horton's an interesting one. Back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. A lot of guys in this top 50 big board as well are not underclassmen. You know, this board in particular had a lot of guys that are coming back. This was the coming back board. There's a lot of Ohio State guys on here. There's eight. And I had cut one guy off at the last minute that I had on. So, yeah, I mean, that position in particular, I mean, so here's something else to keep in mind with receivers is, and I'll use Cincinnati and T. Higgins as an example. You can trade a receiver now, because I don't think they're as hard to find. when you have 12 to 15 receivers in this year's draft that I think will play immediately in the NFL, like, and have meaning all the way down to like Ladd McConkey, you can trade a receiver and find somebody. And then even here, Emeka's played a lot of football. It's a big year for him. He needs to step up and really prove that he was beat up last year a little bit, but he's the number one on the team that typically has the most depth at the position. He really has to have a big year for Ohio State.
So if you look at your big board, in the top 32, which is presumably is the first round, the equivalent of the first round, you've got 10 defensive linemen between defensive end and defensive tackle. So a pretty deep group next year along the defensive line, you think.
Really good defensive linemen, yes, and interior linemen, you know, the two Michigan guys. I know Brian Driscoll, our friend with Irish Breakdown, would argue that Howard Cross and Riley Mills are better than Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham, but we don't have 45 minutes today, unless Brian wants to pop in right now and argue with me about it. Or, you know, you could even say with Tyleek Williams.
We're on a time limit. We can't have him pop in right now.
We need Brian for 45 minutes to tell me that I'm wrong about that. Or, you know, you could throw the Ohio State defensive lineman in there. So we should just do segments arguing about those three schools every week. But yeah, then the edge rushers are pretty good. James Pierce popped to me.
Yep.
Big time pass rusher. He compares statistically on Pro Football Focus to Latu at UCLA this year, who a lot of people believe may be the first edge rusher taken over Dallas Turner. So I think when you have that kind of talent, yeah, this is the kind of a defense strikes back type draft. Really good corners, by the way, too. And part two, Bill, of our Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame debate is, which corner do you want? Do you want Morrison from Notre Dame? Absolute playmaker. Do you want Denzel Burke, who has just steadily improved to a lockdown corner at Ohio State? Or do you want Will Johnson, who everybody, when they think Will Johnson, they'll think, hey, man, he held his own against Marvin Harrison last year. So did Morrison. So again, we'll have Brian on for a separate show and he can just yell at me for 60 minutes.
We got a lot of time between now and the 2025 draft to have that conversation. So, so anybody who wants to get a jump on the 2025 draft, go to sportingnews.com. Bill did a great job. Check out his big board. Check out his top 10 quarterbacks for next year. It's always fun to look ahead, and it's a good preview for the upcoming fall. So speaking of quarterbacks, we mentioned Arch Manning briefly before. He lit it up at the Texas spring game. So Quinn Ewers only played one or two possessions, didn't really do anything. Sark let Arch run the show, and boy, did he run the show. I saw the numbers, I heard about it, but then I watched every pass that he threw. I don't know if you watched that too. He was amazing. He was great. He did everything, and I'm not Mr. Hype, but he did everything you want someone to do, and it was all on time, and it was like full contact on the rushing and the DBs and everything. Like it was live. Sometimes these spring games, the quarterbacks get so comfortable, but it was all live, and he was going through his progressions on several of them. He had those arm angle screen passes at Mahomes, kind of, you know, you got to get around the defensive end or whatever. He was doing that. He was going outside the numbers. He had 275-yard touchdowns. One was just a straight out fly pattern bomb, blown coverage. Second one was kind of a little bit of just a floater. When I think it was, who were we talking about?
Bond.
Yes, it was to Bond.
Yeah.
Who had like a 5-yard lead. It was about a 20-yard loop pass and just recognized it, hit him for the touchdown. He was really, 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 really good. And I'm just wondering how they're going to keep him off the field this year. Is that an issue? And number two, like, if they do keep him off the field, and I like Quinn Ewers and everything, what are we doing that he's not going to play football for two full years? Right. Like, he's ready. Maybe he wasn't ready last year.
I don't think
he was terrific this in that spring game.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Quinn Ewers at the NFL draft next year, I think I'm selling myself by saying, hey, man, I held off Arch Manning for 2 years. That's how I would sell myself. Hey, I held that off. And it wasn't just the quarterback. It was the everybody wants to see this kid play because of his last name. Everybody wants to.
And I did too, but he backed it up. That's
right. And I mean, the second he goes in, it becomes a phenomenon. I mean, you picture a scenario next year where, and I hate hypotheticals, but like Nick Saban does, but you know, Quinn Ewers is up at Michigan Stadium, twists his ankle, comes out, Arch Manning comes in, throws a couple touchdowns. You're not going to be able to take him off the field. Like, and that's the what if scenario right now, because I don't want to shortchange Quinn Ewers. He led that team to a playoff. He's very good, but Arch, it's going to be tough to not have him on the field. And so they may mix him in. We'll see. But Sark has been very upfront about that. And the fact that Texas has been able to manage this, it's a little bit different than what Jim Harbaugh did with Cade McNamara and JJ McCarthy, because he tried to do it a second season. And that's something to watch, Bill, because remember, he started Cade McNamara that second season, and everybody knew in the building knew that as soon as they want to see JJ, mm-hmm. and McNamara pressed and ended up. I'm wondering if Quinn Ewers will press. I don't think he will, but that Michigan game is early on the schedule.
Yeah. Yep. So Jonathan Smith with Oregon State, you know, had DJU last year. They played Aiden Chiles every third possession, no matter what the situation. They gave him the whole possession from start to finish, wanted him to get playing time. I think he scored on like 66% of his possessions. And, you know, he followed Jonathan Smith to Michigan State. I think they feel good about their quarterback, and he got a lot of valuable experience. If you're Sark, would you do something like that? Would you try to give Arch just the third possession? Everyone knows it. There's no controversy. This is what I want to stick to. I want to get him reps. I don't think there's a drop-off. I think this is in the best interest of Arch. It's the best interest of our long-term, you know, for the Texas program for next year. And it gives the fans, you know, a little bit of a taste to see Arch. And like I said, I don't even know if there'll be that much of a drop-off.
No, and I mean, if you look at their schedule, I would try it maybe the first month of the season. Aside from Michigan, they play Colorado State, UTSA, UL Monroe, Mississippi State. And then it gets real because they play Oklahoma and Texas back to – or Oklahoma and Georgia, sorry. They can't play themselves. But, yeah, I mean, Oklahoma and Georgia. So, yeah, I think you'll get enough experience. And but I mean,
I hope he does that. I do.
But the more you feed this – social media driven college football fan machine, the more people are going to want to see this kid, because he's that and again, I never thought he was going to transfer. I you know, just by people I had talked to around the championship game, and that, remember when that photo of all the reporters to Arch was going around, and I had somebody tell me, you know what they don't tell you about that picture is there were about 3 minutes left in the availability, which is like, so they scrambled over there.
And everybody had already talked to Quinn, right?
Yeah, so it's not like Quinn was like – and Quinn was probably like, good, I don't have to hear the same series of eight questions over and over again. So good for Quinn. But, yeah, so it's going to be really hard to hold down the hype with Arch.
It is. It is. And I just can't imagine – I mean, this isn't – when Eli was in school, he didn't play till his third year or whatever. But there's times have changed. I mean, he's ready. Right. I mean, he's been playing – playing and playing and playing. So I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, last piece of news, Reggie Bush got his Heisman Trophy reinstated yesterday. Thoughts on Mr. Bush?
I mean, I don't, like I was telling you, I was thinking about writing something, but I don't have a overly strong take other than I never really didn't consider him the Heisman winner anyway. You know, I watched the Fresno State game where he had over 500 all-purpose yards. I remember him as the most exciting player. I don't even remember, like, I know what the violations were, but I didn't concentrate on those. And if anything, there's a lot of people that said, I saw this joke on X a little bit yesterday where they were like, well, he should take that Heisman and go give it to Vince Young. So it's like, because Young obviously got him in the championship game, but I thought that was pretty clever, honestly. But yeah, I mean, Reggie Bush, it's good news. It is going to, Ryan McGee wrote about this at ESPN.com about the, going to open up a little bit of the, well, we didn't do anything wrong either. And you know, you're seeing a little bit of that, but as far as the Heisman goes, you know, it's a privilege to vote for that award. And if I was voting, and I wasn't voting back then, but if I was voting that season, I would have voted for Reggie Bush, and I wouldn't have wanted it taken away from him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of a big shoulder shrug for me.
Right.
And it was curious timing, 2 days before the draft, which is, I'm not sure what made them decide to do it. They weren't under any deadline pressure. This is what they chose to do. And one thing I'm very curious is if the Heisman House commercials make fun of it, which I'm sure they will.
They'll have fun with it.
They got it. Creative and funny. So I'm looking forward to that.
I can't wait to see. And one thing, and we talked about this. So if they do that Heisman House, are they going to put him in there with Palmer? How's Caleb going to fit in? By the way, tonight, Caleb will be they've had several Heisman winners, but he'll be the third quarterback from USC to be drafted number one if that happens, along with third Heisman quarterback first round. I'm sorry. Carson was number one. Leinart was number 10.
Yep. So, all right. Well, let's return to our Troche trivia question. I hope you've been thinking LSU quarterbacks in the back of your mind as we've gone through this podcast. Jaden Daniels, of course, is going to go top five tonight. It's probably already happened by the time you listen to this podcast. But in the Super Bowl era, six other LSU quarterbacks have been drafted within the first five rounds. And I want to see how many of the six can you name?
Man, I know three right off the bat. So Burrow, Jamarcus. Yep. I mean, those are easy. Jamarcus those are Russell, easy. Joe Burrow, Matt Flynn, hopefully.
Matt Flynn was not in the top five rounds.
Oh, dear.
He was drafted, but he was not in the top five rounds.
Is Tommy Hodson on there?
Tommy Hodson, third round to the Patriots in 1990.
80s quarterback. Now I'm going to struggle because I don't think any of those Les Miles guys went. Was that Mock a top five round quarterback?
Matt Mock was drafted not in the top five rounds.
Okay. Now I'm going to draw blanks because
I'll give you a few that were not. Josh Moody, sixth rounder. Zach Mettenberger was drafted.
I forgot about him.
Danny Etling was drafted by the Patriots. I think a seventh rounder.
Okay.
No. All right. I'll give you a hint. One was it was first rounder, but it was 1973.
Oh, I'm not going to get
that. You'll recognize the name.
It's not Billy Cannon. Is Billy Cannon on here at all?
Nope.
Because that's too old, right?
Right. Super Bowl era. He was a longtime QB for the Baltimore Colts.
Oh, what's his name?
I did not know he went to LSU.
Tell me. Go ahead.
Burt Jones.
Oh, that kills me. I should have known that one.
Now, I'm going to kill you with another one. Well, one was another Patriots pick in 2002, fourth rounder, Rohan Davey.
That makes sense. That was one of Saban's guys, right?
But in the fifth round, 2002, the Green Bay Packers drafted an LSU quarterback.
Hold on. Give me one second. 2002?
Yes. Your Green Bay Packers.
How would I not know that depth chart? Well, you know, in fairness, they weren't playing anybody behind Favre anyway. So, who is it?
Craig Knoll.
Oh my gosh, I remember him. I forgot he went to LSU. He was the preseason guy for the Packers too. Yeah.
Well, that was the thing. Was Davey and Knoll were drafted in the same year? So, like, he was up. He backed up Davey, but he still got drafted.
I can't believe Rohan Davey got. Top five, because that's like a one game. He had that big SEC championship game, I think, and then he went from there. Yeah, so
that was that. Yeah, so that was
my dad.
Favre was in place with the Packers. Brady was in place with the Patriots, so they probably weren't gonna break through there. So anyway, All right. Well, that was fun. So we will be back next week, maybe a little post draft look and. Get into more off-season content. Thank you to everyone for listening to the CFB Nation All-America podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thank you to Irish Breakdown, your source for Notre Dame football information. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we will see you soon. We'll be right back.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.